What's up, Beardos? You're listening to an earth-savingly excellent bonus episode of The Bearded Vegans.
Basically, our whole philosophy boils down to, don't be a jerk.
Don't answer the question first. Not answering the question. I really hope people didn't tune in to hear us talk about beards.
Welcome to the show. I'm Paul.
And I'm Andy.
And we are The Bearded Vegans, a podcast featuring a dissection of all things vegan.
If you're just tuning in for the first time, you can find all of our previous episodes at thebeardedvegans.com. And you can always reach us by emailing thebeardedvegans@gmail.com or just leave a comment below.
In today's Patreon exclusive bonus episode, we are going to ask the question, is Lil Dicky going to save the earth?
Paul, I've been wanting to do this episode for like a month or two now.
Yes, we kept putting it off, I feel like, because other things more
important than Lil Dicky's 7-minute long video, Paul.
Yes, more important things kept coming up, but here we are, Andy. We've done the research, we've done the background info checks, I guess, and now we're ready to talk about it.
I feel like we spent way more time researching this than we should have, but we're going to dive into it.
And maybe more time than anyone working on the website actually did.
That is true. You know, before we talk about this, Paul, I got to say, I need the listeners to know that we finally did not just one, but three escape rooms together.
Mm-hmm. In the past maybe 15 hours. We did two last night and one this morning.
And we got out of all three.
And I've caught the bug, Andy.
If
Andy lived closer to me, I feel like we would be doing escape rooms all the time.
Which excites me greatly. Makes me want to move close to you.
I was going to say, but also disappoint you probably too that we can't do that.
This is true. But also there's not many escape rooms near you. So we're going to exhaust the resources around here pretty soon.
This is true.
But we did a great escape room. Then we went and got that delicious, delicious barbecue tofu at Roots. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And now here we are talking about Lil Dicky.
Here we are in person, in the flesh.
Yeah.
Together. Once again, reunited.
But before we actually talk about Lil Dicky, Paul, anyone that's listening to this right now, we have to send you a huge thank you because it is because of you that this episode exists, because you're helping to support the podcast financially, whether it's $1 a month, $25 a month, whatever it might be. It definitely means a lot to us. And it still continues to warm our hearts knowing that people are willing to keep this podcast going with their hard earned dollars.
Yes. So thank you to everyone that has contributed, continues to contribute, and we hope that you enjoy this bonus episode.
Yeah, I feel like this episode is incredibly niche. And who knows who actually wants this, but I definitely want to talk about it. Paul, this is not the first time that you and I have talked in depth about Lil Dicky.
This is true. This is true. For someone that's like, I mean, I feel like we both enjoy his music, certainly problematic in nature at times, but we both enjoy his music. For neither of us, it's like our favorite artist or something, but I feel like we end up talking about him more than one would expect.
Well, I was teeing you up to talk about our bonus episode. It wasn't even a bonus episode. It was our little side podcast, short-lived. I feel like maybe we would have done more of our little side podcast, Epic Nitpick, if we did not start doing these bonus episodes. Yeah, but these bonus episodes have basically taken up any possible free podcast time. But 2 years ago or so, we launched a very small side podcast, which I think maybe we only did like 6 episodes of.
If that.
But one of the main reasons why we launched it was specifically because I wanted to talk about a Lil Dicky music video that's like 9 minutes long. What was it called?
Pillow Talkin',
yes. And I feel like I had so much to say about it, but it did not fit on the Beard Vegans podcast whatsoever. So we put that together and then talked about Pillow Talkin' for like 30 or 40 minutes.
Maybe some of our bonus episodes should, like, every once in a while we'll just sprinkle a bonus episode that's us just talking about a movie, like reviewing a movie or something.
You know, maybe we should put the Epic Nitpick eps up in our Patreon feed just so people have access to them.
That's good, yeah. And maybe people will be like, we want to just hear your unprofessional opinions about other things.
Yes. Okay, so Paul, as you sort of said just now, Lil Dicky is someone that we have both been entertained by in the past. For me, when I think about Lil Dicky, who is a rapper who only has like one like full-length album out, and I think maybe an EP and a couple, like a handful of videos, is someone that has always interested me. Like I think is someone that's doing like interesting things, but there's almost nothing of his that I just like wholeheartedly love. Like every, like so much of his shtick, which is like, he's sort of really acknowledging the white privilege that he has, but also like flaunting it like inappropriately. Like it's not like an incisive critique of it. It's like he's sort of just using it as a gateway point for him to, for it to be okay for him as a white man to be rapping. And pretty much across the board, there's always like everything he does, I am thinking, I feel like you're so close to being to doing something good with your powers, right? Because yeah. I think that he is a clever person and a funny person, and it just feels like often he's so close to getting it and he just doesn't get it. And that's how I felt about Pillow Talk, and that's how I feel about so much of his stuff. I mean, there's so much to be said about his problematic nature. I think Freaky Friday, which he did with Chris Brown, which has obviously all sorts of horrible implications there. Even just working with Chris Brown, I think was like an issue, but then like how he used Chris Brown within that song presents a whole host of issues. And so I was just like, oh man, I was hoping you would grow out of this thing that you're trying to do. And so then here we come with Earth.
What up, world? It's your boy, just one of the guys down here. Well, I could be more specific. I'm a human. And I just wanted to, you know, for the sake of all of us Earthlings out there, just wanted to say,
we love the Earth. It is our planet. We love the Earth. It is our home. We love the Earth. It is our planet. We love the Earth. It is our home.
Hi, I'm a baboon. Just less advanced and my anus is huge.
Hey, I'm a zebra. No one knows what I do, but I look pretty cool in my white or black.
I'm a lion cub and I'm always getting licked.
Meow. How's it going? I'm a cow. You drink milk from my tits. I'm a fat fucking pig.
I'm a common fungus.
I'm a disgruntled skunk. Shoot you out my butthole.
Plant, I can get you fucked up.
And I'm Kanye West.
We love the Earth. It is our planet. We love the Earth.
And this is something that is a video that is meant to draw attention to a really pressing issue, which is climate change, or as he says in the video, global warming. And I was like, okay, Lil Dicky, all right, here you are. You are using your powers for good. What Earth is a video that could best be described as like a companion to We Are the World, one of those types of videos that is just like 30 celebrities all gathered, all using their collective celebrity power to draw attention to one particular cause. So this video, the song, features Justin Bieber, Ariana Grande, Halsey, Zach Brown, Brendon Urie, Hailee Steinfeld, Wiz Khalifa, Snoop Dogg, Kevin Hart, Adam Levine, Shawn Mendes, Charlie Puth, Sia, Miley Cyrus, Lil Jon, the list goes on and on. Katy Perry, Lil Yachty, Ed Sheeran, Leonardo DiCaprio, the Backstreet Boys. Like, it is.
And most importantly, Andy?
Kevin Hart?
Nope.
As Kanye West?
Psy,
yes, a favorite of ours. So this is, I mean, it's hard to imagine constructing like a more well-known group of musicians for this video. So, Paul, I think we'll talk about what do we feel about the song in general, message aside, then we can talk about its reception and whether we think this is going to do any good for anyone. It is going to save the Earth. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this video? And do you feel like Lil Dicky finally pulled it together and is using his powers for good?
I certainly think he thinks that he's using his powers for good. Like I mean that genuinely, in that I think this is like a very well-intentioned endeavor.
You don't think it's an opportunistic endeavor?
I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. All right. I think that this is a genuine, well-intentioned thing that he's trying to do. I think that in terms of like the actual song, it does have a catchy chorus, as we just listened to it again, and it's stuck in my head at this point. But a lot of the verses are just these different celebrities being different animals and being like, I'm a cow, like I'm a pigeon, I'm a skunk.
And that's it. Like, yeah, so many of the lines are just like, I'm a baboon and I have a big butt or whatever.
Yeah. And it gets repetitive after a while because like that goes on for the first half of the song. And then Lil Dicky actually has like a rap verse mm-hmm. in the second half of the song. But for a while, it's just that.
Yeah.
And I guess in that kind of in comparing it to We Are the World, I guess it's almost kind of similar, but this is like silly, you know, it's definitely much more silly. Whereas We Are the World, it's like, even though the people were singing similar things, mm-hmm. those famous people, it was like a serious, and I feel like it was supposed to be taken seriously, where this is certainly very silly. So it's like, it has all these famous people just for the sake of being able to say, look at all these famous people that were on it. Like, yeah, they don't actually bring anything themselves to the table besides their notoriety.
You know, I was thinking about sort of the difference between this and We Are the World, just in terms of its construction. And part of what was impressive about We Are the World is their video is all of the people in the song in one room together. And you have to think how hard that must have been to get, right? Whereas with the Lil Dicky video, it is the vast majority of it, aside from an opening skit, is computer animated. And people have lines that are just like, I'm a fat fucking pig. Like, that's literally Brendan Urie's line. Yeah. It's just that. And someone's like, I'm a fungus. I forget who that was. But which is, I think that's actually a problem, that it is hard to recognize some of the celebrities.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the lines are really strongly auto-tuned, you know?
Yeah.
It's not like you're like, oh, it's T-Pain and obviously it's auto-tuned and we know it's him. It's like people that you're not used to hearing auto-tuned. So it's almost hard to tell who they are until you watch the end credits of the video and shows you, oh my God.
Like, which goes very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but it kind of lingers on Lil Dicky at the end again, which my argument is that this is a very self-serving video. So anyway, to my point, this feels like Lil Dicky kind of like went around and was like, I mean, we've read accounts of how that got put together, and he started with the people he knew. And once he had five celebs on board, he would go to people he knew less well and be like, look at all these people that I have on board, which is sometimes how I feel about when you see a film with an amazing cast that's really bad. You're like, man, Brad Pitt just like signed on early and then his name convinced everyone else to get on board or something. it feels like he was like, I'm just going to come over to your house with a setup like what we use to record this podcast, which is pretty minimal. And just, I'm going to record you saying I'm a fat fucking pig.
Wait, do you know for sure that that's what happened? Because in my mind, I was like, I bet he didn't even meet most of these people. I bet he just said he booked out 30 minutes of a recording studio near where everyone lives and just had them go there.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't him in person doing that. But yeah, it could be that, or if it's like, I bet a lot of these people probably live in LA or like in, you know, New York City or like one area where he could easily, like, I'm going to come over to your place. Do you have a quiet closet that we could just record this in really quickly and just sort of process the hell out of it?
Yeah.
So he's able to collect all these celebrity voices with pretty minimal effort on the celebrities' parts, mm-hmm. which is pretty brilliant. And that is one of the things that I will give Lil Dicky, is that he seems to be, or if he has a team or whatever, but to credit him, I guess, he seems to be someone that like really knows how to leverage publicity and humor and sort of spectacle, you know, like I think probably my favorite thing of his is Save That Money, which is a music video where which is his own problem, I guess, but you know, being like the anti I have all this money convention of rap, mm-hmm. I'm saving money, and he just films a music video that's very extravagant but without spending almost any money at all.
Yeah.
And they show the process of him like knocking on rich people's homes and be like, can we shoot in your mansion for 15 minutes? Like, that's pretty brilliant, you know?
Yeah.
And so he is someone that is obviously very smart, and he knows how to leverage things that don't cost a lot of money to get a lot of reward out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I feel about this video, is that it is very, like, I believe that he is someone that genuinely wants to help. But I also feel like a lot about this video is like, I'm going to use all these celebrities to give myself a really large platform. And my evidence for that is there's the opening skit, which is live action and features Lil Dicky. And there's literally no reason. There's nothing about it other than a news clip that's like, it's hot. And I guess some kids knocking over garbage that they don't want to pick up. but nothing about it contributes to the message of the song. And it just adds all this time onto the length of the video, which I would argue would make it even harder for people to get to the end to see the website he's trying to get people to go to. But it feels like the video is just like, if anything happens, I'm going to make sure that anyone watching this sees me being funny for 2 minutes before the song actually happens. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then, as you said, case in point number two, then as you said, all these celebrities have like one line for the most part. Like they barely contribute anything. They're not contributing any of the sort of the intellectual content of the song. It's all very silly. It's just like, don't you want to see Lil Jon as a clam? And yeah. His line is just, what the fuck, I'm a clam, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, was that Lil Jon? And so you have that, and then he gets this big verse to like show off his skills. And I would argue this is actually one of his like weaker verses that I've heard from him. Like he is someone that does know how to have like a really good flow. And I don't feel like he showcased that, but he set himself up to have the showcase, to be like, here's all these celebrities. Now look at how good I am at putting together some bars. And then we'll go back to like celebrities have here. Psy is like a mountain or something like that. and then the end, they do the very quick credits. And then it's like, and Lil Dicky, and it pauses on that one for longer than everything else. And so, yes, I believe he has good intentions, but it also feels really self-serving. And you kind of wish that the celebrities were saying something of more substance that could have still been funny and clever. And so much of the content of this song, I guess it's kind of his brand, but is very immature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really like, some of it doesn't even like make sense when it's like, fellas, don't you like it when you get to come? I heard like women's orgasms are better than dicks. And you're like, what?
Yeah. It doesn't have to do with
what
anything.
What the fuck? You know, like all whatever transphobic implications and like whatever. You're like, huh? So I guess you're just basically appealing to people's like, do you want to keep having sex? Well, you better save this planet.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. It just feels very, for someone that has put together so many very meticulously crafted songs, this just feels like really off the mark. And it, to me, I'm like, you had this giant platform and you gave yourself the biggest chunk of that platform and you still feels like you kind of wasted it.
I do agree with you that It is his part is definitely weaker than what he probably could have done. I don't necessarily fault him though for like being the one that has the rap, like that has the verse, because I mean at the end of the day it is his song and he's just using these he's just using all these other famous people just to make it more popular. Like I don't think the reason for having those people was to say like, Hey, Justin Bieber, like, what do you want to say about climate change? Hey, Lil Jon, what do you want to say about climate change? It's just him being like, how can I get this many people to do a insignificant amount of work that will give me a significant boost? So it's like, I don't necessarily fault him for. And then at the end, like, given what the song is and that it's his song and that he's the one that has the verse, I mean, I think it makes sense that at the end when it's like, and Lil Dicky, I think it makes sense that it lingers on a little more.
I get it. He put in all this hard work, but it just feels like, I don't know. Why not give like two other rappers verses in the songs as well? You know,
make it a 15-minute song.
It's just, you know, take out your skit that's not that funny in the beginning. Like, you suck my butt. It's like, okay, very funny comeback, I guess. And, you know, why not like allow some of the other or give the celebs like three lines each or something, you know, I get that these things have to walk a line between being entertaining and educational. But to me, there was barely any educational aspect of it. And lyrically, and we can pick apart how vegan this whole thing is, but lyrically, it just feels like this vague platitude. We love the earth. Killing's bad. Things are getting warm and we don't like that. You know, it's kind of this like live, laugh, love. Like, you know, it's like art that you would buy from Target and put on your wall that is not really of much substance. And I get that most people don't care and that just getting people to just barely get on board with this is probably a momentous task. And maybe this song will be that thing for a lot of people. I hope that it is. But it also just, I don't know. It's hard to imagine anyone listening to this. It's just like when someone's like, love trumps hate. hate's bad, like end hate or whatever. And you're like, yeah. So what exactly does that mean?
Yeah.
Which hate are you against? What's your plan for that? What's the action you're encouraging yourself and other people to take? It's just this like vague thing that makes people feel good.
I do agree with that. I think maybe one positive could be, you know, someone like you were just kind of referencing, someone who, especially like younger, in my mind, it's like middle school boys that it's like have this sort of immature sense of humor, and it's like getting them to be, it seems like it could be possibly one of those things where it's like someone of that, with that kind of humor, that's not really interested in these things, would attach onto it and then be like, oh, and it's like you said, it's like a thing that kind of just makes you feel good, makes you feel like you're doing something. But maybe that could be the thing that spurs people to go to the website and like hopefully do good things after that. You know, it's like, but I do fully agree with you that like, with no context of like the website or any other resources, the song itself is not really doing any like, it's not really making any great points. It's not really going to convince people of anything other than like maybe looking into things afterwards, but maybe someone that wouldn't have done that before. I don't know. I hope.
And I know that we have talked about the, you know, whether or not we should be using celebrities to promote veganism and the power of celebrities or not the power. And so I think that maybe in and of itself, the fact that these 30 celebs signed on to something that's like climate change is, well, they use the phrase global warming, which is different than climate change, and most people sort of prefer climate change now. I was looking into this, Paul.
Huh.
Global warming, it just refers to like what it sounds like the warming of temperatures that are happening, whereas climate change encompasses all of like the negative consequences of that, as well as like the extreme colds that we're experiencing and all of like the droughts and the storms and like all of these things as well. And so that's sort of like the preferred nomenclature for when talking about this now. So I did think it was kind of weird that he was using more of an outdated term, and one that seems to like trigger the like sort of conservative sect to be like, that's not a real thing.
Yeah.
And it feels like climate change is like a softer like phrase that more people sort of accept is actually happening. And maybe that's just my own personal perception of it, but that felt weird. The whole thing to me has this vibe of the new activist that's their first day in activism and they first woken up to something and they want to do something and do anything and they make these big gestures, but they haven't really thought it out. They haven't really learned from those that came before them. You know, it just feels like, and I think especially from the website that this video is directing people towards, which we'll get into, the whole feel of it is like, I want to do something and I'm going to do something even if it's not perfect. And even if it's not the most well-researched and well-thought-out thing, not that anything's perfect, but it just feels half-baked to me.
Yes. No, I think that's a good analogy to make of like the person who has just realized these things and wants to do something about it. But most people, when that happens to them, they don't have this as big of a platform as he does.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's like, is it harmful? I feel like it's not necessarily harmful.
Well, I think the harm could come in this, that like, I think that there could be a possibility that these big celebrity filled things do help. And actually we did do a little bit of research on that to see like what was the actual impact of We Are the World. And just according to their Wikipedia page, apparently it's one of fewer than 30 retail singles to have sold at least 10 million copies worldwide. And then the promotion and merchandise aided the success of We Are the World and raised over $63 million, which is equivalent to $144 million today for humanitarian aid in Africa and the US. And that's where our research ended. We don't know how good the organizations they're donating to or any of that stuff, but it did have the power to raise a bunch of money. So these things, you know, organizations that are doing good stuff need money. You know, you could argue whether or not the nonprofits are needed, these big ones. But if you're looking at purely from a monetary standpoint, like, yes, it could do something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the harm that something like this could do is, this is not something that comes around every couple of weeks, right? I'd imagine getting all these celebrities on board for something does take a lot of effort, even if the recording aspect of it wasn't the most strenuous thing, but getting people to sign on and convincing people to do it. And also knowing that if this did happen every other week, the impact would be so small. Like, you'd just be like, oh, there's another 30 celebs on this cause making a video this month. What are they talking about? You know, like, this has the power to be like, oh my God, what is so important that Snoop Dogg and Miley Cyrus and Psy and Lil Jon and all of, and yeah, Kevin Hart, you know, like, all sign on for that sort of celebrity shock value of just this whole collective thing. It's like, you have to, if you're going to do that, you have to really use it to your advantage. And this just feels like kind of a, like, the, to me, it's just like the musical version of the shrugging guy, you know, like, it's just kind of like, like, do something, care about stuff. Killing's bad. You know, it's cool to have sex. Keep having sex. Pants are nice to wear. Like, it's just like, that's what the song is, you know? And I don't know. And I think just even in and of itself, I don't think the song is that catchy personally. I think that the verse that starts with the vultures, all of that I find to be quite catchy, but the chorus itself just sounds like a, like the first draft of like the Lego movie, Everything is Awesome. They're like, we need something really catchy. And they wrote this and like, no, that's whack. We're not going to do that. And then they did like three or four more drafts and got to the actual Everything is Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just, I don't know. It just, it all feels very amateur.
Yes. Which is surprising because it's like, I imagine that a lot of thought did go into this. Like, you would think that this was, I don't know, unless it's like all the thought went into how to get all these people together and that took away from the thought of creating the actual song.
Yeah.
But I see what you're saying. I think we are still in a position where these 30 celebrity tracks aren't happening very frequently that I'm like, to me, I'm not like mourning that, like, oh, this is it. We've struck out on the major celebrity thing or massive amount of celebrity thing. So it's like, I don't think we're in it. We have not saturated that market yet. So I'm willing to take this one as a loss.
Take the L.
So in that sense, I'm not super worried about it. But yes, I do agree with you that it could have been better. I think where we disagree is in terms of just this stuff that we've talked about, I don't necessarily see it as that much of a negative yet. I do agree that it's like, it didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
But,
it's a fart in the wind. I will say, I guess we can talk about where, cause to Lil Dicky's credit, supposedly a portion or all of the proceeds of this, we got sort of different reporting on that from lots of outlets, but are going to, quote, various organizations dealing with climate change. So,
yeah, and it's all actually organizations that are part of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation.
We haven't even mentioned that Leo plays himself in the video, mm-hmm, saying this is the best song he's ever heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, very self-serving for Lil Dicky. So Paul, mm-hmm, I guess a lot of our opinions as two like jaded dudes, like, it means nothing if the public was like, oh my God, this is amazing, and we're going to like latch on to it. So we were trying to look at some of the reception of this, and it got coverage in like everything. Rolling Stone, NPR, CNN, People, Stereo Gum, CBS, Time, BuzzFeed. That's everything, right? But just like any outlet you can think of was covering this. And I looked on Spotify. This song specifically has 60 million plays so far.
How does that compare to his other songs?
Well, unfortunately, Freaky Friday with Chris Brown is his is his most popular song on Spotify, which has 400 million plays. And then the next most popular is Save That Money, which is 170 million. Now, granted, those have both been out for a lot longer, but to me, the song does not have a lot of like replay value. And I'm sure that in like my next drive, I'm like, you know what? Actually, let me go listen to that song, and then I'll listen to it like 800 times in a row.
It's too long to have that much replay value. I think.
Yeah. It's not gonna. I mean, I guess I feel like the radio is probably kind of obsolete now, but it feels like it's not really gonna get a lot of radio play.
I wonder if it got any. It was on the Billboard charts. I don't know if those take into account now digital downloads.
I have no idea.
Andy, it was number one in Belgium. So
big in Belgium. So yeah, not. His biggest hit. And you would think, okay, even if this is like a newer song than those other two, with that huge celebrity push behind it, you would think it'd be much more popular. My assumption would be that people went, they listened to it once, they went, okay, that was all right, you know, and you watch the video and yeah, there's some appeal in trying to like pick out whose voice belongs to what animal and oh, Lil Yachty is the HPV virus. That's funny. And you know, stuff like that. But it's a very novel thing. Like it, to me, it has not been, whereas some of his other songs, you know, in some regard, he's like a problematic fave where I'm just like, this song is very catchy and I'll listen to it a bunch. And this has not garnered that for me.
Yes, this does not have a lot of replay value at all, yeah. I don't believe.
Which is unfortunate for a number of reasons, but I also feel like if you had replay value and the song actually had a legitimately interesting, compelling, informative message, that would be good if a lot of people were just listening to that and internalizing it. Whereas now it just feels like a novelty. It feels like, oh, that's a funny video, whatever, Lil Jon's a clam, Snoop Dogg's a weed plant. Marijuana plant, a weed plant, Paul. And you know, you're just like, that's funny. Okay.
It's interesting though, because I think you were the one that sent this to me, Andy, but this didn't really come across my radar. I don't think I saw like anyone posting about it, at least in my circles on Instagram, on Facebook. I didn't see anyone posting about this. It doesn't seem like it like went viral in the way that I think they all hoped that it would.
Yeah, I don't remember how I came across it even.
I mean, it's on the Spotify, so I feel like eventually some people are bound to come across it if they listen to Lil Dicky just because it's on Spotify. But it almost surprises me, Andy, that it was on all of these like BuzzFeed, NPR, all of these bigger media outlets, because it just, I mean, I guess it makes sense. It's like they're, you know, they're probably pumping out hundreds of articles every day that we will never read.
Well, so I am looking right now on, because I realized I mentioned Spotify plays, but I didn't mention YouTube views, which they probably want even more than the Spotify play. It has 133 million YouTube views,
which is more than the Spotify plays, which makes sense because it's like, I feel like it's less interesting to listen to us. I've never listened to the song on Spotify, but I feel like it wouldn't be as interesting without the visuals of the animals.
Oh, and there's also a clean censored version that has 18 million views. So Freaky Friday has 510 million. Professional Rapper with Snoop Dogg is 147 million. Saved at Money has 121 million. So it's more popular than Saved at Money on YouTube.
That's interesting. I feel like Save That Money is a significantly better music video.
Great, but much better video and much better song.
Yeah.
I think as well. Anyway.
Let's talk about this for the next 5 minutes.
Okay. So it did get a lot of coverage. And I guess ultimately what we want to talk about is what is the action this song is asking people to take? Because within the lyrics themselves, it's basically just like, hey, there's a lot of animals on this planet.
And we love them.
I feel like it's not a particularly vegan song. I mean, there's the line about, how's it going? I'm a cow. You drink milk from my tits, which maybe could serve to get people like, oh yeah, that's kind of gross. Like we're drinking, you know, people are so far removed from the fact that milk comes from a living, breathing animal. In Lil Dicky's verse, he mentions eating a lot of tuna fish. There's an animation of him riding the pony, you know, so there's animal use in the video. So it's certainly not a vegan video by any shot. But like what it does is at the very end, if you make it all the way through the full 7 minutes, the very last thing is like, we got to do something. Go to welovetheearth.com. And you were looking at welovetheearth.com. So like, do you feel like, if people make it through the song, even the song's kind of vague, if they go to welovetheearth.com, are they given clear information? Are they given clear actions that they can take? How do you feel?
Well, basically, I feel like it's not a super extensive website. There's only like three main tabs to click. And there's the take action tab, which one of those kind of leads to this vague petition to sign that it was very unclear, like, cause all it gave you when you clicked, like, take action, sign the petition, it was like, take action for the environment, sign the petition. So it's like, okay, I guess this is something about the environment. But then when you click sign the petition, it literally just says like, okay, and here's where you put in your name and your address and your phone number. It doesn't really tell you what exactly you're signing.
We spent a while trying to figure out what exactly was it that we were signing. And even clicking on the little organizational link underneath it, it did not bring us to any clear information. We only found like other language versions of the petition, which we then put into Google Translate. And even that was kind of vague. And I'm sure there's a better plan somewhere. But the fact that we had to go through that many steps to even get to that point, you know, it's the website is not doing a clear job of like really conveying what it is that they're asking.
And so another one of the under take action, another one of them was like a, you know, it was like a card, like take the carbon quiz to like see what your, how your carbon footprint averages with the typical American. And it's like, yeah, I guess that's good. It doesn't really, it kind of, when you go through it, it kind of tells you like, oh, did you know, like, that has things about like eating red meat can lead to blah, 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 eating poultry, blah, blah, blah. So that has a few things like that. And also like using LED light bulbs can save blah, blah, blah. But it's like, I feel like that whole thing kind of, no, I don't know. I don't want to trivialize it, but that's another thing that seems like this is someone that just found out about this. But I mean, maybe those sorts of things will encourage people that did just find out about those things. Like for me, taking one of those quizzes that's like, figure out what your carbon footprint is, doesn't necessarily motivate me to want to make any changes, but maybe it would motivate other people.
Yeah. I mean, I think for the average American that, of course, is not vegan, it would probably be a big wake-up call that they have such a high carbon footprint. But to your point that it feels like someone who like just found out about this stuff, the first thing that you see when you go to the website is a video of Lil Dicky, and he's wearing a turtleneck and pants and no shoes. And he's just like on a green screen, full body. And just, you know, we can play a little clip of that right now.
Hi, thank you for coming. I'm going to educate you on what's going on with the earth, because I didn't know anything. And, you know, I learned a little bit. So, hi, let me get right into it. We've got a big problem on our hands, guys, okay? And that's mostly driven by our behavior here on earth. We're doing bad shit. These bad things are causing temperatures to rise. And when temperatures rise, more bad shit happens. By the way, temperatures rising is called global warming. I'm sure you've heard of this phenomenon. Some people think it's not a real thing. I'm not sure how you can feel that way. When I look at this graph and I see temperatures rising just steadily over time, that's all global warming is. Anyone who disputes that is a fucking idiot. Grow up.
And as you can hear, like it's him, I guess, trying to be funny. But mostly it just comes across as someone that's not really confident in the information that they think they know or the actions that people need to take. You know, like it has that. And then he's like, if you want to learn more, like learn more. And then it has the energy, nature, and food. Like those are the three things that he's like, these are the areas we need to turn around in. And the energy tab talks about like renewable energy a little bit. And the solution that's offered is like, you got to vote for politicians that believe in this.
Yeah.
Which is not like a bad thing, but it feels like for that to be the only thing seems odd.
Yeah. And that was the last under the take action tab. There was the petition, there was the carbon footprint quiz. And then the last one was like register to vote. And it led to the, what is it? Vote or die? Rock the vote? Vote or die was the P. Diddy thing. Rock the vote. That's what it was, right?
I don't know. You're the one that looked at it, Paul.
No, you looked at it. You even wrote it in there, but I feel like you...
No, well, I looked at... So there's a video for each of the links that are under Take Action as well.
Yeah,
it is Rock the Vote. Right. We're a professional podcast right here. And it just, you know, he's voting. He said, it just takes caring. Do you care or are you cool with death? And, okay, yeah, you did put it in the Google Doc notes right there. Rock the Vote link in... Take action thing. Did I put that or did you?
You put that in. All right. You put that.
Well, there we go. You know, for two guys that just escaped through escape rooms, we're really not good at figuring out that.
So the energy thing, you know, it's like the solution to the energy crisis is vote, which like you said, that's not bad advice.
Yeah. And it's like true. We need people that are making policy decisions to believe in climate change and to treat it like it is the crisis that it certainly is. Mm-hmm. But it also just feels like there should be more to that.
It's not like a personal, it's almost, it's like putting the responsibility on someone else instead of putting the responsibility on you.
Yeah. I voted once this year or once every 4 years or every year for local or like what, you know, 2 years to whatever office you're talking about. And then that's it. That's all you got to do to help nature or to help the, like the energy thing. And it's like, oh, that just feels like there should be so much more under there. And then the second thing is nature, and basically like we need to conserve the rainforest, we need to conserve these the help with the animals and stuff. And its solution I put as shrugging guy, because I did not get any solution from that video.
So under each of these different three tabs, energy, nature, and food, you can then kind of scroll through a few different pages. I don't want to keep using the word tabs, but they are, it's just like tabs within tabs. But you can scroll through a few different paragraphs, and each one is kind of like a different issue. And I think my big qualm with this one in particular, the nature one, was it's like the issues were so hyper specific. It was like, cause it says there, you know, there's this intro video about what's going on with nature. And then it's like to find out what you can do about how to help nature, which is this like huge thing, you know. Yeah. It's like click below, find out below, and you go below and it's like, oh, here's an organization that you should donate to about shark conservation. And then here's another one about lion conservation. And while those things are great, I feel like it's almost too specific. It's not big picture enough, which maybe being too big picture is to turns people off. But to me, it's like, yeah, that would be cool if we could save the sharks and the lions. But like, unless we do all this other stuff, it's almost like missing the point. Yeah. Unless we do all this other stuff, cool, the sharks and lions are going to be great until the entire world goes extinct.
Sharks and lions and bears, oh my.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's, again, it just feels very thrown together. It feels obligatory. Like, even the videos that he's in kind of feel like you can't tell if he thinks he's being funny or, I mean, I'm sure he thinks he's being funny. He seems very self-satisfied about himself, not just with this video, but, like, across the board. He seems very caught up in his own, you know, like, cleverness. I would say that's something he exudes. But the whole thing feels obligatory. Like, oh, if I'm going to put this together, I guess I should have a website. And I'm going to do the bare minimum with the website. Which, again, to me, says this is very self-serving. Because he's like, most people aren't going to go to this website.
I would argue that he probably had very little to do with putting together this website.
Well, I think that's a problem.
I know. I mean, in the sense of like, you know, he's not an expert on these things and he probably hired other people to put this together. And we're assuming, you know, I mean, he even says it, who knows if this is the truth or not. Like he even says, like, it's only recently that I realized that these are big issues. So it's like not clearly, but we're assuming he doesn't know about these sorts of things. So if he's hiring other people to put these things together, for all we know, he could be like, oh yeah, this does look good because this is all that I know. Who knows if he's those videos, who knows if he's even the one that is writing the script for those videos. Someone else could be like, okay, this is your shtick. And it's like, this is what you should say.
His videos feel like he had someone summarize a Wikipedia page for him 5 days after they read it. And he is now sort of trying to regurgitate that information.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
You know, he does not speak as if he's coming from a place of power, clarity, and authority. It's just kind of like, oh, I read a few tweets. I might have missed a couple of them, but carbon's bad, I guess. And it goes,
yeah,
you know, and not in a way that's like informed and funny. Like I think about something like Adam Ruins Everything, which is like this like very specific fact by fact debunking that is often also hilarious at the same time. And it felt like this could have been something like along that sort of tone that would fit in with his brand. And instead, it just felt like, I'm just, shoes. I don't care. Who needs shoes? I got this turtleneck and I'm just going to like, what is this thing? I don't know what this thing is like, you know, and to me, it came across as more of like uninformed than it did specifically comedic.
Yeah, I can see that. I thought it was kind of funny, but.
I didn't laugh at a few parts, yeah. But it also, I was kind of sitting there in quiet horror going, all of this effort was to bring people to your half-baked YouTube videos that don't really give anyone a lot of meaningful solutions.
Yeah, I do think that some was in the quest to uphold his image as this like, you know, awkward, funny person.
Yeah.
I do think that some of that was lost. It's like some of the potential of what this could have been was definitely lost.
Yeah.
And so the last tab, which is probably, I guess, the most related to our brand, is the food.
The tab about beards?
is the tab about food. And so again, there's like the intro video, which we should probably talk about first, I guess. So because there's intro videos for each of these tabs. So the intro video for the food one starts off by saying, you know, the way that we are farming in terms of crops is not great. Like we're in so many, like without actually saying it, he's basically talking about like, you know, monocropping and just the fact that we need to produce so much that the methods we're using to produce them are not sustainable. And then, so he goes on to that, which is a problem, doesn't necessarily address meat stuff, but certainly is still an issue. Then he goes on
into
meat stuff. Then he goes on to the meat stuff, Andy, and he talks about how specifically red meat is one of the biggest producers of environmental damage.
Talked about the cow farts and burps.
Yeah.
Farts.
And you know, ends with the line, which is what I expected. I did not expect any more than this, Andy. It ends with, you know, it's kind of like, oh, does this mean we need to stop eating? Does this mean I'm going to stop eating burgers? It's like, no, of course not. But instead of eating them four times a week, I'm going to eat them one time a week instead, which obviously is not what I wanted him to say, but is exactly what I expected him to say.
Yeah.
And then throws in cheese there too. Throws in like, oh, and cheese is also a bad thing too.
It feels like he's unsure about where cheese falls. I guess that comes from a cow.
And again, like I think that's the shiny example of him upholding his brand of humor to the extent that it kind of muddies the message.
Yeah.
Like I think in the bullet points of like, okay, here's the things I need to get across. Big agriculture is not good. Red meat's bad, cheese is bad. And like to hit that last point, he kind of throws in that joke that, yeah, it doesn't really like nail the point that it's trying to make. It kind of is a little bit iffy. So it's not the best, but exactly what I expected, what I expected from him. And then in terms of what the tabs are, I was surprised that there was, I think, five or so tabs, and three or four of them were specifically, each one was like a different, I'm assuming, nonprofit organization. It kind of linked to a different organization's website. And then they would have little descriptions about what the organizations did. And three or four of them were specifically organizations that helped farmers reduce the carbon footprint of their farming. And now that I'm unsure of if that's like what that exactly means. I'm sure for the different organizations, it means different things. You know, he does mention some of the methods of farming that are unsustainable. So maybe some of them have to do with that. But I imagine some of them are like, oh, you produce red meat. Here's how to produce a red meat less detrimentally to the environment. And then the last tab was just like, oh, and here's an organization in LA that's helping with food composting, which seemed out of the blue and just kind of like, oh, this has not been mentioned anywhere, as far as I know, anywhere else, which again is an issue that's important, but just kind of seems like whoever was putting together this website was like, okay, what's related to food that's going to help the environment? It's like, oh, here's this organization in Los Angeles that's doing this very specific thing. Yeah. Like throw that on there. And I think that along with some of the other, like I was saying, some of the other very specific things like the nature thing, it kind of makes it, I don't know, I feel like it loses some of the big picture of what's going on, which maybe was on purpose. Maybe it makes it seem less daunting. Like it makes it seem, maybe I'm hypotheticizing. I don't know. Theoreticizing. What's the word I'm looking for? Throwing out a hypothetical here.
There you go.
that it's possible that they were like, okay, this is this huge daunting, thing that we've talked about, how it almost is too much. It's almost so much. It's so existentially enormous that like we can't, what are we even going to do about it? And maybe they're trying to say like, okay, these are these specific things that we can do about it. And if everyone did some of these little things all together, we would be doing something big.
Maybe. I mean, I do appreciate that, like, trying to break it down into something smaller. And on some level, you know, there's a lot to be said for putting the responsibility on individuals versus holding corporations accountable. But it feels like this is still just like putting it on individuals, but in ways that are a lot less meaningful. Like, it's just like, just donate money.
Well, and actually, now that you say that, Andy, especially with the food tab, most of them were, oh, here's an organization that's helping farmers out. It's not anything that you have to do yourself specifically.
Yeah. And so, yeah. So like the only mention of even reduction of meat is in that video where he's like, I'm not going to stop eating this stuff, but I'll eat it less. And in your head, you're like, he's probably not going to eat it less.
I did think that too. But I mean, it would be huge if at least I'm glad at least he didn't just say eat less meat. That's such like a vague thing to say. I'm glad at least he said, instead of eating it four times a week, eat it one time a week.
I do like that. But I don't like that it was just red meat.
Yes. No, yeah, yeah. That too. Especially because that carbon footprint quiz thing that you can take, it specifically, you answer questions about how much red meat do you eat, how much poultry do you eat, how much eggs and dairy do you eat. So it like has all of them as things that are detrimental to the environment. So I do wish, I do wish that he had said something about all animal products.
Yeah, I guess I just, to sort of wrap it up, because we've been talking about this for how long?
50 minutes.
Whew. Never thought I'd talk about Little Dicky so much. I wish that the video was better, and I wish that what people got if they did follow through with the link, because I'm wondering how many people actually went and looked at this link. It's probably a pretty small percentage of the people actually listened to or watched the video.
Yeah.
I think that's just fair to say. Like, people don't follow through on things.
But even a small percentage of 100 million people is a good amount of people.
Yes. I mean, I agree with that. But so I wish that those who did choose to take that action and go to the website, that they were receiving some tangible, actionable information. And not just, we got to protect the nature and vote, I guess, eat a little less meat. Okay. You know, it's just, it's so vague, and you have to like really work to get the information. And you just, I feel like in a situation like this, if you get someone to click the link to go to your website, you should make it so abundantly clear the points that you need people to take. Like, the opening video should be like, hey, y'all, this is the problem, and this is what we need to do. We need to be, even if we're just going by his solutions, we need to eat less meat. We need to vote for politicians to do this. We need to do this and do that. And if you want to know exactly why I'm saying this, check the links below. You know, like something that lays out the plan of action. And if like, I will elaborate on why these steps are important in the links below. As opposed to like, you have to like watch a video and then watch another video and check out the tabs before you really get anything out of it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think I still stand firm that I don't know if this was detrimental to a lot of people's, you know, journey towards being more environmentally conscious.
Yeah.
But I don't know how beneficial it was.
Paul, it's as beneficial as a fart in the wind. Not helping anyone.
And just in case anyone's interested, on the Leonardo DiCaprio, I'm leonardodicaprio.org, which I guess is maybe the official website of the Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation.
It's actually Little Dickie's official website. He bought it.
It specifically lists for the link for this video. There's like a page for this music video. It specifically links these organizations as ones that the money, because in a few places it kind of just gives a vague like money is being donated towards things that will help the environment.
Yeah.
And in case anyone's interested, it says these organizations include the Quick Response Fund for Nature, the Shark Conservation Fund, the Solutions Project, the Global Green Grants Fund, and the Carbon Cycle Institute. So I think there's more than that, but in case you are interested, those are the types of things.
Didn't Leo get producing credit on Cowspiracy?
Possibly.
Right. Like, he's been known to sort of dabble in the vegan world.
Are you suggesting that this music video is funding Cowspiracy too?
Possibly. I don't know. But
we can dream.
He's one of those people that you like really want to come out strongly as vegan, but doesn't really seem to do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, That's Lil Dicky's Earth. We didn't mention this at all, but you can watch it for free on YouTube.
So, yeah, I think that's all I got to say about it. Let us know what you think if you've watched the video. If you haven't watched the video and just want to respond to the things that we said, please send in those comments to thebeardedvegans@gmail.com or just comment below because you are on the Patreon, my friend.
Paul, you know, 30 celebrities is a lot. But I feel like the one celebrity they didn't get was you, Professor Paul Steller, auto-tuned, singing the following 7 words.
We are the Bearded Vegan, signing off.
Some rhinos horny as heck.
I'm just a giraffe once with a snack. Yeah.
Hippity hop, I'm a kangaroo. How about there, up and down with you?
I'm an elephant, I got junk in my trunk.
What the fuck, I'm a clam?
I'm a squirrel looking for my next nut.
And I'm a pony, just a freak horse.
Yeah, but,
come on, get on.
Yeah,
giddy up, let's ride.
I'm HPV.
Sleep all the time, so what, it's cute.